This is the Roy Gelliford Podcast, and here I am with my ever-grinning co-host, Jan. Hello, Jan.
Hello. Just some growing old facial hair. It accentuates my smile.
Is that what it does? Okay.
And if no, moving listeners on. Don't have a reason to go to YouTube, I don't know what is.
So, our series continues. We're continuing to talk about the state of open source, as reported by the Perforce survey. And we are now talking about open source data technologies used by organizations. So diving right in, probably unsurprisingly, when you're talking data technologies, most people's minds immediately go to databases. And if you're talking open source data technologies, MySQL and Postgres, when it comes to relational databases, are the first ones that come to mind. And sure enough, they are the top two, with MariaDB in third place.
Yeah, and I think just like last year, we're going to again give the whole, preaching about MySQL and MariaDB should kind of be added together here, because they are forks of each other. On the other hand, it's been a couple of years now, and they have diverged enough, I guess, that they do deserve their own little slot. But if you're looking at technology-wise, then the MySQL branch of the popular SQLs is still vastly outpacing Postgres. And actually, the MySQL and Postgres themselves have been one-upping each other, because last year they were in reverse order. So is this just competition working as it's supposed to be working?
I think so. I mean, and there's only 3% difference between them last year. There's only 3% difference between them this year. Like, I think they're both excellent technologies. They're both vying for people's open source relational database loads. They definitely have differences. They definitely have different areas where they maybe shine a little bit more. But for most people's purposes, I would say they are roughly equivalent in the grand scheme of things. And it comes down to, what's your preference? What did you start with? What did you learn initially? What are you more comfortable with? What are the rest of your organization more comfortable with? For most people, they could be used almost interchangeably. Again, there are definite differences, there are definite preferences for certain use cases, certain people, all that sort of thing, I get. But yeah, both number one and number two, very, very solid choices, as well as number three with MariaDB. The only thing I was going to add is I'm still kind of salty about the fact that SQLite is still in here and considered as a open source data technology. I know it's technically true, but oh dear, the number of times that I've seen problems caused by people using a SQLite database and then doing daft things with it, and then it's corrupt, and then everyone's very unhappy, and then so on and so forth. It's just not.
Yeah.
It's something. It's fine if you're just like, it's your one person, you're writing against something really simple. You don't need super performance. You don't need transactions. You don't need like anything fancy. I get it.
I was going to say,
if you're going beyond that,
I was going to say it's probably going to be used more in dev test when you don't have the need of a full-fledged database. But then I thought I would be using BerkeleyDB, which isn't even in the list.
True. Yeah.
Which surprises me a lot, because I'm pretty sure BerkeleyDB is used a lot more than SQLite, I would hope, but apparently I'm wrong.
Yeah. But again, like even BDB, excuse me.
It's very stable.
It's not, I have no problem with the technologies themselves. It's when they're used outside of where they should be used. It's when people start using them in environments that they're not designed for, like multi-user environments.
It's a step up from Excel, okay?
I mean, it's a step up from flat files, but you know,
anyway. Access to be anyone.
God,
I do like the fact that MariaDB is getting a good bump up, because last year they were like in the 16%, they're up 27% now, so that's going well. And it always keeps surprising me how many people are still actually using MySQL. I mean, MariaDB is a plug-in replacement. I've done it myself. It works perfectly. It has, I think, better support for transactional database connectivity at the moment, although I haven't used MySQL for a while now. But MySQL just kind of made it hard because you had to have the other kind of database, not ISAM, but the whatever thing, I forget. MariaDB just makes things so much easier. Now, the one thing I do think MySQL still has better is the multi-node approach. I have no idea how well MariaDB is in there, but that was usually one that's that like lagged behind. So that would be a reason to stay with MySQL. But apart from that, I don't see that many MySQL that are geographically distributed over the world. So that still surprises me that MySQL Oracle is still hanging in tight with that, competing against their own bigger product.
You know, it's just, it's one of those things that I think still the, when people think database, they think MySQL. And I know that the fork of MariaDB happened a long time ago now. And like, it's still very successful. It's still nearly 30%. MySQL is only just over 40%. Like, we're only talking about a 25% difference here between the two. Relatively anyway, and between MySQL and MariaDB, if you were to combine them, they would absolutely trounce Postgres in terms of adoption. But the fact that they are both split out, the fact they are so closely related, I think it becomes a little bit of a it almost becomes, for want of a better phrase, like a religious sort of conversation. Like, do you care about the fact that Oracle, took on MySQL all those years ago, or do you not? And there's a lot of people out there that just don't remember that and don't even think about it and just, oh, MySQL, yeah, that's the package I want, away I go. They never even think about Maria. There is a lot to be said for name recognition, brand recognition, and people just look for a database project. Oh yeah, MySQL, I've heard of that, away they go. And they just never think about MariaDB. And that will always be MariaDB's like biggest problem. It's that there's a lot of people out there now that just don't know it exists.
Yeah, I mean, you could be right, because the reason I dumped MySQL for MariaDB is because I lived through the acquisition by Oracle, and my reaction then was, oh crap, that's going to be the end of MySQL, just like OpenOffice got replaced more. I mean, there it did happen. OpenOffice is now the lesser known brand, while LibreOffice is a more known brand. I was totally convinced that was going to be the same way for MySQL and MariaDB. In my experience, in my personal experience, that also happened. But yeah, you could be right. MySQL still has a huge name recognition out there.
Yep. I mean, there's another few ones that have sort of moved around a little bit, in that, MongoDB has sort of dropped down a little bit. Elasticsearch has also dropped down a little bit. But the one that sort of surprised, I'm not sure surprised is quite the right word, but Apache Kafka, went from being like bottom 15% of last year, as in 15% of the overall number. It's like bottom end of the survey. There we go. Bottom end of the survey. One of the least used data technologies. And Kafka has been around for a long time. It's very well established. And yet now it's in the top third of technologies used by people. And it just seems like a big swing to happen over 12 months. So again, whether it's user bias, survey bias, audience bias, I don't know. I think there's something in that to see such a big, big shift.
Yeah, I still feel that the audience was definitely different from last year. I mean, same with Apache Spark, which I don't really see as a storage tech, as a data storage technology, but it's, I guess it's data analytics, and it doesn't really fit the rest of the graph, but They also had a little bump up, although not that much. But they do end up in the first half now, where they used to be at, just before Fluent D and all that shit last year's.
Yeah.
Now, we do have to mention one more technology here, obviously. Keeping still strong around the 10-ish%, going a little bit backwards, but not a lot.
Yeah.
Apache Hadoop is still there.
The elephant that just won't die. Yeah, it's
still there. For a long time.
It indeed. Like, if you have it, if you need it, if you want it, then you use it. And for some people, it's still the right thing for them to be using. Like, I do think that number is dwindling as those folks that adopted it back in the day slowly move off to other technologies and find other ways of solving their problems. But like, there is still a hardcore of people out there, you know, grinding away with things like MapReduce and all that other good stuff, and using Hadoop platforms to do it.
Hey, MapReduce is more than just Hadoop, right? But
I know.
I think more or less it's going to stay stable now, more or less, because if you're still using it, you're probably using it for the right reasons, not for all the hype and whatever somebody tried to sell you with snake oil 10 years ago. So, and again, technology isn't bad, and sometimes it's the right fit. I often get people telling me Hadoop is old and should be junked and should not be used anymore. Well, no. Mm-hmm. I mean, sometimes the old stuff works well. If it works well, keep it. Don't have to replace it.
Yeah, yeah.
But no, for us, of course, it's nostalgia.
Exactly. And speaking for things that are close to our hearts, we mentioned Elasticsearch earlier. I can't help but obviously mention Grafana Loki has made its first entrance into this this year. It's in the lower half of the list of technologies that people are using, but it is now there, and it's in the sort of 8, nearly 9% of folks using it. So long may that continue to expand.
I just noticed that Neo4j had a big drop. From 16%.
It definitely went below the fold. Went from top half to bottom half for sure.
Yeah, less than half the percentage, which is on the one hand, I'd say that last year's 16% was a bit optimistic, because it's good technology. I mean, if you need a GraphDB, if you need reversal queries, Neo4j is pretty much where you're going to end up. But that seemed a bit high last year. So this looks like more of a good fit for Neo4j, not because it's bad, but because it's pretty niche.
I suppose the other one, you know, we can't talk about forks without mentioning, obviously, OpenSearch. Like, it's moved up in the ranks from like lower half last year to just at the bottom of the upper half this year.
But with a less percentage, because last year it was 10-11%, and now they're at 9%, which is weird, because you expect that something new would still benefit from the shiny thing. If it's going down already, it's a bit
sweet. I tell you another one that's made a big shift. Look at TimescaleDB. You know, last year it was probably bottom, like 25%, oh God, so many percentages we're talking about here. It was, you know, in the middle of the top half of technologies used. Now it's the second lowest, almost at the bottom this year of things that use. And it has had a big shift in terms of percentage. It's gone from, you know, nearly 15-16% all the way down to just over 5%. A big swing there.
I think a lot of survey bias in this one.
Yeah, yeah, indeed.
And it's actually a bit sad. I would hope that OpenLogic kind of keeps their surveying public, I don't know, 80% stable and 20% changes, so that they can kind of keep this comparable. But on the other hand, they don't put these kind of back-to-back year-to-year comparison tables in their report, so they don't care.
Yeah, and I think it's because they know that their audience shifts quite largely. So, you know, your mileage may vary, as they say. All right, let's move on and see if we can cover one more. And it's a topic, for me, this is very close to my heart. OpenStructure, infrastructure, automation, and configuration tooling. What are people using today? I mean, to me at least, very much no surprise to see Ansible, for very much top of the list here. I sort of see a lot of other names that, you know, are very significantly lower down in the sort of results, things like, you know, Chef and Puppet, that, you know, I certainly spent many, many years using on my side, but, you know, things like Ansible have definitely taken the crown from that. And, you know, Terraform is certainly very popular as well. You know, it was probably middle of the pack last year. It's now, you know, third place. But there's one thing in this survey that just drives me crazy.
You're seeing red again.
I am seeing red again, and it's red in the graph as well, probably for a good reason, but maybe not. But last year, when people asked what open source infrastructure and automation and configuration tooling do they use today, only nearly 12% of people said not using any. However, this time round, 27% of people said they weren't using any form of infrastructure automation and configuration.
Any kind of open source version.
True. Now, this could either mean that people have fully embraced, you know, containerization and microservices, and, you know, it's all part of their CI/CD pipeline. Doesn't need any infrastructure automation. But I just don't believe that. And yeah, some
and
of this could
cases,
be
Ansible and Terraform are still being used.
Yeah, like it could be maybe it's survey/response bias. But, oh, God, in this day and age, especially with the complexity of tools and platforms and technologies as they are today, I mean, I don't know. If someone's not using any, like, are they just scripting this in, like, Bash or Python or something like that instead? Is that what they mean by not using any or other?
Could be hyperscalers. I mean, yes, you can deploy your hybrid cloud solution using a Terraform or Ansible setup. But if you're in a single cloud, then, yeah, I mean, booting up a SaaS service is three clicks in the portal of the web provider, yep, and you're done. So maybe
but
this
then
is
what
the
about
more
what you deploy on top?
Well, I mean, more and more logic apps, no code solutions, and that kind of stuff can't work with Terraform and Ansible. Mm. I'm not a fan of those technologies myself, but that could be a reason that this happens this way.
Maybe.
But I think it's more the people they surveyed, that maybe they are less mature or smaller, more smaller. I think we already saw they had a lot more different companies responding, which means a lot more smaller companies where, but you kind of do need a certain level of requirements to go into something like this. Now, obviously, we would say that best practices are to always start with your config management and deployment software and build it on top of that. Reality, however, usually is I build something cool. Look how cool it is. Oh, everybody wants it now. I have to build something around it to make it maintainable. Let's look at this thing now. It's just how the world works, to be honest.
Yeah.
But yeah.
I mean, the other big swings, though, I think, are, you know, last year, KubeSpray, KubeADM, like, were the top two and top number two and three. And this year, they're the bottom number two and three. Yeah. So they've had a complete shift. And the other thing I would call out is, which is not surprising at all, and I'll be very, very interested to see how this changes next year, is obviously HashiCorp changed their licensing model. And, you know, the fork of Terraform is OpenTofu. And that's a very, very recent development in the grand scheme of certainly of this survey. It was very recent when this went out. And, you know, I wonder if, technically, like, if you combine Terraform and OpenTofu, like, it would be the most prevalent open source technology, open source configuration automation technology. But because that fork happened, you know, Terraform's at 22% and OpenTofu's at you know, just nearly 8%, and Terraform nearly 23%, and say OpenTofu is nearly at 8%, and that is that I think will be very, very interesting to see how, you know, I think different organizations both handle license changes differently. Some we've seen go, frankly, I think very badly. Some I think we've seen organizations handle them very, very well. I think the jury is still a little bit out at the moment on how well Hashi are going to weather the changes there. But the fact that OpenTofu is already heading towards half of what Terraform was, I think is A, really impressive for the OpenTofu project. Like, hats off to them for sure. But, you know, if that trend continues, like, we could see some very big shifts in this space.
To counter a little bit, Terraform did also grow. They went from 18-ish percent last year to 22, 23% this year. So it kind of looks like OpenTofu isn't cannibalizing their installed. Maybe it's cannibalizing their growth, but their installed base seems to be kind of loyal. Now, of course, OpenTofu is very new. I'm actually very surprised that enough people already have credibility in the project's longevity that it enters this survey at 8%, because this is a very new thing. And yes, it's always cool and everybody's active and energetic when a new thing starts. A year, 2 years, 3 years down the line, that's kind of when you figure out, okay, is longevity real or was it just a bit of hype that was built because somebody wanted to make a point? We're definitely not over that hump yet for OpenTofu. Now, again, it does look good, and the things that you read and see about it seems okay, but to make a big decision, because again, this kind of software is at the base of what everything you're doing. You don't easily move from a Puppet to a Chef to an Ansible to an OpenTofu.
Well, that's true, but of course you've got to remember at the time of Fork, the migration was very, very easy. Like that's another big thing.
But that's what I mentioned, that Terraform, it doesn't cannibalize the existing Terraform deployments because it actually grew there. So that must be at least partially new people starting to use it.
Partially, but I do think a huge part of this was migrate, because I know organizations that have gone through these migrations. Like they've definitely, some organizations had a very allergic reaction to the license that Hashi chose and the direction, the communication, all these kind of things. And they were like, nope, we're not going down this route. And they noped out and they went down the OpenTofu route very, very quickly.
Okay, but obviously, then, if a lot of people move to OpenTofu, that means that the growth of Terraform this year was even bigger than the 3% that shows here.
Yeah, definitely. But that would be people that were probably already on the Terraform journey and didn't want to change the direction that they were going. Now, will they stay on Terraform now?
Open question.
That's the question. That's the question. But I think the adoption of OpenTofu is a interesting thing to watch. It'll be very, very curious to see how that that adapts over the coming years.
Yeah, definitely. Well, one last thing that for me, something I want to mention is Chef dropped down from 23-ish to 12%. Mm-hmm. Kind of feels like Chef missed their chance. When it came up, it was like the be-all and end-all was going to be conquering everything. It always had to fight against Ansible, because Ansible was kind of the other big player in the room. But at the moment, even Puppet is in a much broader use than Chef. So it kind of feels like Chef is going slowly out. And to be honest, I hardly ever see new projects, new customer deployments using something like Chef.
No.
Which is weird.
Same with Salt. Like, it just missed.
Yeah, Salt always was small. That although last year as well, just on the Chef seat.
Yeah, exactly. Like, they've both moved down together.
If Chef needs some Salt, right?
Yeah, but God. Ansible, Terraform, plus OpenTofu, I think, will continue to be the dominant players in this. Although, I have to say, you know, there apparently is an open source infrastructure and automation and configuration tool called Otterdog. I've never heard of it. I will be looking it up after this podcast because I'm just curious. What a great name.
That's the Otterdog, right?
I guess so.
The one that can't spell.
Ah, dear. Anyway.
On that brilliant joke, that humor that we display again, we have to say goodbye because it's all the time we have for today. You can support this podcast, give us money, our jokes will get better. You can become a Patreon contribution, help us with our humor bones. You're on YouTube, definitely for these kind of episodes, YouTube can be useful to see the graphs we're discussing. And you can like, subscribe, hit notification bells, do YouTube stuff, and make Dave smile. You can go to our website at www.theroaringoff.org. There's links to the Patreon page, YouTube page, more information, and all the fun stuff. And you can send your feedback by email to podcast@roaringelephant.org. Until next time, my name is Otterion.
And my name is, our jokes probably won't get better, Dave.
And we look forward to talk to you again next week just to check up on Dave.
See you then.